Today, Broken City. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is Post covering finance and property news. Well, the Housing Industry Association published a survey of major home builders, and they showed that the number of new home sales across the nation dipped in August, with the three-month run rate also falling. No real surprise there. Of course, home builders are falling off the perch at an alarming rate, with high rates of insolvency among construction firms, many of whom were home builders, running at around 3,000 over the past year. And while many of those were small firms, we are still seeing a spate of larger firms going under. We're actually encountering more people in our one-to-one discussions where half home-built projects have fallen over because no builder can be found to take over the work. And of course, there are rising costs and blown out completion dates. No wonder people prefer to buy existing property. The record high interest rates are making it all but impossible for developers to start projects profitably, which is why building approvals are still languishing, with the typical volatility seen in the high-rise sector, because just one approval contains many units. So the data is lumpy. The ABS said seasonally adjusted estimates for private sector house approvals rose 0.6% after rising 0.3% in June. And private sector dwellings, excluding houses, approvals rose 32.1% following a 20.2% June fall. The trend estimate for private sector house approvals rose 1.2% following a 1.2% increase in June, and private sector dwellings excluding houses rose 3.9% after a 3.9% June increase as well. Approvals for new dwellings rose in New South Wales, up 25.2%, Victoria up 20%, South Australia up 9.9%, Tasmania up 8%, and Western Australia up 1.9%. In fact, Queensland was the only state to fall down 5% in season-adjusted terms. And approvals for private sector houses were mixed. New South Wales was up 8.5%, South Australia up 4.8%, and Western Australia up 4.7%. However, Queensland was down 5.2% and Victoria down 1.7% in season-adjusted terms. The latest quarterly data on the value of construction done also fell by 0.1% over quarter two, and that's 2.9% lower year on year. We also know that completion times are blowing out, sometimes deliberately to manage cash flow, at other times due to shortages of labour or materials. The dollar decline in construction is despite a massive run-up in the costs of building materials. And we also know that firms are preferring to back government infrastructure projects, which are competing for resources and where margins are plumper and payments more certain. This helps to explain the apparent contradiction that the size of the construction sector has grown by more than two times as many jobs as other market-based industries, yet we built more freestanding homes back in 1995. That's according to Tarek Brooker. All up, that 1.2 million homes target that the government has set over 5 years is just a pipe dream and announceable. It may sound good, but is meaningless. And more broadly, the Albanese government is a complete mess on housing, with the three bills that comprises its $32 billion Housing for Australia plan blocked in the Senate. That includes the Help to Buy Share Equity Scheme, the Housing Future Fund Equity Investment Vehicle designed to build around 13,000 houses per year, and the Build to Rent legislation, which is designed to assist corporates to get tax breaks to build and then rent units, probably at higher than market rents. After all, they are designed to make profits for those investing corporates and also the super funds. But as the ABC reported, the federal government has failed to bring on a Senate vote that would have killed its own first home buyer support scheme, with the Greens and the Coalition voting together to delay consideration of the legislation for 2 months. Labour's Help to Buy scheme, which would see the government co-purchase homes with 40,000 first home buyers, has been stuck in the Senate since February with no clear path forward. Ahead of this week's Senate sitting, the government listed it for debate and has been trying to bring on a vote, which it knows it will lose. Government ministers have spent the week accusing the Coalition and the Greens of conspiring to block its housing agenda, but the government has been in turn accused of trying to kill off its own policy. The Greens say they want the government to negotiate and have issued a long list of demands, including negative gearing reform, a government-owned property developer, and a rent freeze coordinated with states and territories. But Finance Minister Katie Gallagher, who manages the government's Senate business, said the minor party was not genuinely negotiating. They're talking about all of those other things that are unrelated to the bill. It's time to get a vote on. If they're not going to support the Help to Buy, say so and frustrate our agenda. On Tuesday afternoon, Greens leader Adam Bandt announced that the party would move a motion to delay the bill for 2 months, which passed on Wednesday morning with coalition support. Mr. Bandt said the delay was a test for Labour. The Greens are willing to negotiate. The time is ticking for the Prime Minister to stop bulldozing and let his ministers negotiate with the Greens to pass the bill. Senator Gallagher accused the Greens of playing a procedural trick. Just be upfront that you're working with Peter Dutton and the opposition to frustrate what would be a useful housing programme in the suite of a housing response to the housing shortage we have, she said. It's just another delay. It's just disingenuous for the Greens to walk around for, say, 2 months and suggest that they have some miraculous turn of opinion and support the bill. Like, if they oppose the bill, vote the bill down. The Coalition campaigned against Help to Buy at the last election and has argued that Australians would not want the federal government to co-own their houses and that similar schemes at state and territory levels are undersubscribed and friendless. Grants have been approved for the first 13,700 social and affordable homes under a government housing fund set up 1 year ago. The Greens have argued that the number of beneficiaries is too small to make a difference to housing affordability and that supporting demand for housing will, if anything, push up house prices. The government sees the measures as part of a broader suite of housing measures, including its tax incentives for build-to-rent apartment complexes, also stuck in the Senate, and its Housing Australia Future Fund, the HAFF, which is set to support the construction of 13,700 social and affordable homes in its first funding round and more over time. We're committed, deeply committed, to dealing with the housing shortage in this country, and it's going to take a whole range of policy responses to deal with it. This is one of them, Senator Gallagher said on Tuesday. It's worth pursuing and also holding to account those who oppose it. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has threatened to use the Senate's obstruction of Help to Buy as a trigger for a double dissolution election. Welcome to that time of the political cycle where we find ourselves burrowing into the election data speculation rabbit hole. That special category of election that sees the entire Senate put up to the polls rather than the typical half-Senate election can be called when the upper house twice rejects a government bill. The government may regard this bill delay as a failure to pass and therefore the first rejection, as it did when a similar delay was applied to the HAFF bill. A second rejection later this year could allow a double dissolution election to be called for late January. That would not be expected to advantage the government, but, Mr. Albanese said, we'll wait and see when asked about it on Tuesday. And while a double dissolution election is highly unlikely, the comments have fueled further speculation about an early, regular election, which the government can call at any time. The real fix, of course, is to cut immigration significantly, as this would ease the rental shortage and lower rental inflation, which in turn would take pressure off the RBA to hold rates higher for longer, and that would first enable builders to clear the huge backlog of approvals, and second, ease pressure on households. And talking about pressure on households, Moody's says that Australian mortgage delinquency rates, which increased over the June quarter, will continue to rise moderately over the rest of this year as high interest rates and sticky inflation puts financial stress on households. The latest data for the residential mortgage-backed securities that they rate shows the share of prime quality home loans, that were at least 30 days in arrear, that's 30-day plus delinquencies, increased marginally to 1.73% in June from 1.72% in March. And the delinquency rates for the residential mortgage-backed securities backed by non-conforming and near-prime mortgages, like loans to borrowers with adverse credit histories, or those that lenders assessed using alternative documentation, rose to a significant 4.23% in June from 4.01% in March. Mortgage delinquencies increased by more for non-conforming and near-prime RMBS than the prime RMBS over the June quarter, because the deals include a higher share of loans to borrowers who are financially vulnerable in the environment of high interest rates and inflation. This cohort, by the way, includes self-employed borrowers, low-income homeowners, and those with high loan-to-value ratio mortgages. And that may well include some of those builders that we spoke about earlier on. After rising steadily for the last 2 years from a historically low level, delinquency rates are now back up around near long-term averages, they say. But standing back, the policy errors made by the current government are literally hitting home. And with the prospect of more political tricks on all sides of politics, the real impact on people will continue. Those politicians should be held account for their mistakes. The question is, will they? Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.